I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited. Anybody else here excited? You have no clue why I'm excited. I know somebody might make a guess, whatever. Like the Chiefs are in and the Broncos are out, but that's not what I'm excited about. None of that stuff. Yeah, you do. Hey, it's been 44 years since we've been to the dance. We want to go, let me tell you. I mean, it's almost as old as I am. But hey, that's not why I'm excited. Why I'm excited is about what we're going to get into. I'm excited for a couple reasons. I have all my sermons done till Labor Day. That's always good. I mean, outline. That's the worship team's like, yes, we actually know what's coming up. And that's I try to do that. I know she's really happy. She's excited. But I'm excited because of what we're going to talk about. Last year, we talked about, a lot of things. Great Commission worship was a big one. How do we take what Jesus told us about love God and love others? And then he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Well, how do we do that? Here's what we're going to do for the until Labor Day. We're going to go through the book of Acts. Guess what that is? That's where everybody who took that seriously and what they did. It's the start of the church. What happened after the resurrection of Jesus? How did it affect people? And here's what we're calling it. We're calling it impact. And last year we had God's Got It. I'm sure that will make its way back through many, many times. But today, and for the rest of this year, we're going to talk about making an impact. Now I know that you might think, well, what are you talking about? What's an impact? Well, think about this. What impact does Jesus have on you, if any? Does Jesus have an impact on you? Or better yet, what does it mean? Well, it means to influence or have an effect. If something has an impact on you, it influences you, it has an effect on you. It should bring about change. I mean, think about it. If I took a hammer out to someone's hood and used it, would it make an impact? Yes. Would it change the shape of your hood? Yes, it would. An impact is something that should change you. It should reshape you, should mold you. I mean, here, let's face it. Be honest. You've had situations in this last year. You've had things that have happened to you that has made an impact on you. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Reed made an impact on this church. I saw people start praying that I haven't seen praying before. He made an impact. Things impact you. They do. We went through a whole mess thing called election. Did it have an impact? I'm praying it does on our country. But not as much as we can make an impact on our country. And that's what I'm excited about. I'm so excited. Think about it this way. Has Jesus made an impact in your life? Or better yet, has Jesus' resurrection made an impact in your life? Has it made an impact at all? Does it make a difference? Does the fact that your sins are forgiven impact your life? Do you live differently? Does the fact that your sins are forgiven influence you or affect you or affect what you do or how you treat people? Because it should. Because before you understand the fact that Jesus had an influence or an effect on your life, what was going on? What was affecting your life? Have you met those people that they get upset all over one thing and it just ruins their whole day? I mean, it's crazy. One little thing and it can ruin their whole day. And they're like, ugh, I've had a terrible day. What happened? Well, I couldn't find my shoe this morning. Really? You don't have another pair? You can't put another pair on? I mean, I get it if you live in a farm of goat heads and you can't find your shoes. I got it. It could make an impact in your life. But really? But some people get so wrapped up in the impact of what impacts them. When really in life, when we have the grace of Jesus Christ and we know the power of the resurrection, we should be making the impact to people. And so I'm excited about you. Well, think about what impact did it have on those first disciples? The ones who actually witnessed and walked around with Jesus. And then all of a sudden he witnessed a crucifixion and 3 days later, he's alive. And it's not just that they saw him like once or whatever. He was there for 40 days making an impact and going, yeah, I'm alive. He ate with them. He did walk through a few walls and just scare the snot out of them. It happened. But he was kind of above everything. He's resurrected from the dead. He's not even supposed to be around us. What kind of impact did it have on them? Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the book of Acts because the book of Acts is the impact that it had on those first disciples, on that first church in Jerusalem, and then on that church and how it spread throughout the world and how it has impacted even people today. because Jesus Christ rose from the grave. It makes an impact. And here's the thing, folks. I think we can make an impact. We can make an impact in each other's lives, in our family's lives, in our friends' lives. We can make an impact in our neighborhood, in our surroundings, in our city, in our state, in our world. I think we can have an impact. The same power that impacted them is the same power that lives inside of us. The power of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. Why aren't we making an impact? Wow, I don't know. Why aren't we? See, we want to impact the believers. That first church, those first believers, they impacted the world. People go, well, it's a little easier when you actually see the risen Christ, right? That's going to make it a little easier. Jesus said, blessed are those who don't see, who don't get to see but still have faith. Their faith is stronger than those who actually got to see. Now, I know most of you, you're like, no, I'll wait until I can see it with my own eyes. That's good. But when you have faith that impacts people even beyond that, you didn't see it, but you witness it because you know, because you've experienced it. Jesus' resurrection should impact your life. It should impact so many things. So here's what we're going to do. Now, so I'm basically going to go chapter through chapter. There's 28 chapters in the book of Acts. I have 34 sermons. A couple of them have extra stuff in them. It's fine. But this week, today, we're going to go through Acts chapter 1. And really just the first part of it. We're going to go through the whole thing, but I'm just going to hit you with the first part. And I'm going to read the first about 11 or 12 verses of chapter 1. You can follow along. You can look in your Bible if you want to. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to follow it. Now, I want you to understand, the book of Acts is like the second edition. Luke had already written a book. Thus, we have the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And he says at the beginning of that one, he says this guy named Theophilus, he's a Roman government leader somewhere, and he says, I'm going to research all about the resurrection of this man named Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk to eyewitnesses, I'm going to research everything I can. Thus, you guys have the book of Luke. He was a doctor, he was a researcher, he talked to eyewitnesses, he talked to believers, he talked to non-believers, he talked to everybody along, and he gives you a very detailed account. The thing is, he's writing it for this guy named Theophilus. So that book is done. Now he's looking at the next one. Is it not working again? I don't know what it is. Well, you can shut it off or try. You can play with it all you want to. We tried to stream Facebook, and ever since the Christmas program, it's not working. I don't know what it is. Apologize. Those people out there who are trying to get on are the ones going, oh, well, sorry. But so this is the second book. Theophilus is writing his second book. So here's the first one's about Jesus and who he is. Now here's the second book, and it's all about what Jesus' impact was upon the world. And that's what we're going to look at for the next few weeks. So in verse 1, it says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote to you about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to his apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Again, they don't get it, but we'll talk about that in a second. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times nor the dates the Father has set by his holy authority, by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Now, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and in a cloud hid him out of their sight. Now, they were looking intently up in the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Now, that's just the first 11 verses. And we're going to start with that, and then I'll wrap up with the last part of it. Now, here's the thing. What do we notice? What did it impact with them? Here's some things I noticed. The first thing the believers had was they believed in the risen Christ. Do we believe in the risen Christ? That he truly has risen from the dead? It's a hard thing for us to grasp. Here's the thing. They believed in the reality of the resurrection. Some people had doubts, but after 40 days of seeing Jesus and appearing and having different places, they didn't have any problems. Jesus went around and said, hey, you don't believe? Here, put your hands in my scars. You want to put it in my side? That's what he did to Thomas. I mean, if they didn't believe, he ate with them. He did all kinds of things with them. He walked around. He continued to teach with them. He prayed with them. He gave them hugs. He was real. He was alive. They're like, I don't know how, but man, Jesus rose from the dead just like he said he would. It made an impact in their life. For them, the resurrection was real. Here's the question. Is the resurrection real for you? Does it make an impact? The fact that Jesus Christ conquered the one thing that pretty much everybody has a little bit of fear about, and that's death. That he conquered death, he conquered our sins, and he took them with him when he conquered them, and they're forgiven. And this thing called grace is on us. Do you believe that? Does that make an impact? They believed in the risen Christ. They believed in the reality of the resurrection and how it impacted people's lives. Question is it real to you? Or is it like, I'm not too sure. There's still people, and they show up in our church, they're like, I'm not too sure about this resurrection thing. How did that happen? Is that really the truth? Yeah. When you know he's taken away your sins, it's real to you. Here's another thing that they had about under the believing of a risen Christ. They were concerned with the coming of his kingdom. I love it. He goes through and Luke talks about all that there. And then they ask this question. They gather around him and they say, Lord, is it this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? In their mind, they had been taught and they had been trained for their whole lifetime that when the Messiah came, he was going to restore the kingdom of God here on earth. And the Israelites would be the chosen people, and they would be the ones who get to rule. Now, if you don't believe me, think about this. The disciples would jockey for position. Remember James and John and their mom came to Jesus saying, can one of these sit on the right hand, one sit on the left? All the rest disciples, hey, wait a minute, man. What do they get special treatment? They all thinking it's happening now, that Jesus is going to come. He rose from the dead. Now this kingdom is going to have, they're going to be a nation that is just incredibly powerful. The kingdom of God's nation. Little did they know what history would have for the Israel nation, right? They missed the whole point. It wasn't about a kingdom here on earth. It was about a spiritual kingdom. They jockeyed for positions. Instead of Jesus reigning over the world that we know it, he reigns over our hearts and the lives of those people who love and trust him. The spiritual kingdom of God. He reigns, he's king, he's Lord of all, and he reigns over those people who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the one that, he reigns over them. He over their hearts, over their lives, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he works in their lives. It's funny because Jesus replied to them basically like this, it's above your pay grade. But here's what he said. It's not for you to know the times of the date that the Father set in his own authority. God's God and he's got a time frame and it's above your pay grade. You don't know. You're not going to know the times of what's going on. Don't you wish you kind of did though sometimes? Reed and I talked before he passed and he was like, Todd, what's going on? I'm done. I'm in pain. For over a year, I've dealt with this. I said, man, I don't know. And I told him then, I said, it's above my pay grade. I said, you know, maybe I don't know if there's any way. You're not going to be able to let me know. But if you find out when you get up there, it'll be all clear to you and you'll know completely. But I'm still down here wondering, going, I don't know. Lord, what are you doing? What were you doing? I don't understand. But it's above my pay grade. God has his own sets, times, and things, and it'll pass as it goes. Why did the things that happened last year happen? I don't know. What's going to happen this year? I don't know, but I'm not worried about it because I know the one who's in control of it all. I mean, you know what I mean? There's going to be riots and everything else on January 20th. Why? Because things are changing. Things are changing. It's going to happen. But God's got it, right? He's got it all under control. He has a time plan. And even these guys are trying to figure out, God, what's your plan? The important thing to remember is this. Now listen, folks, this is good. The important thing to remember is this. We should not be curious about the future. I mean, we can be, but it shouldn't consume us. But we should be busy about the present, the time we live in, and sharing the message about God's spiritual kingdom. That's what they had to do. They were like, is this the time of the kingdom come? Whatever. So it doesn't matter. Jesus says, you're my witnesses. You need to be witnessing. You need to be doing what you're supposed to be doing, and Christ will come back. It even talks about that. We're going to talk about it in a second. And here's the next thing that I see. Not only do they have that, but they believed in the risen Christ and in the power of his Holy Spirit. As Jesus is talking to them, Jesus promised, now he promised this throughout his whole teaching. He had been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to come on you. You're going to have power. They even received a little bit of it when they went out in pairs and healed and had power over demons and all kinds of things. They had a little bit of it, but he says, no, when I send the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit comes, it's for everybody. Everybody who believes, it's going to be powerful. And he said they believed it. And verse 8 is the key verse of chapter 1. If you haven't mark it down like that's the one. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And this is the whole context of the whole book of Acts. It'll start in Jerusalem, then it'll go to all Judea, which is basically their state. It's going to go to Samaria, another state, and then to the ends of the earth. Everybody's going to know about Jesus Christ and him dying on the cross and raising 3 days later. Because you are my witnesses. That's what he said. You're my witnesses. Those guys, you're my witnesses. The power of the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and you're going to be my witnesses. It's the most important verse. Now, witness is someone who tells what they've seen and heard. Here's it, right? If you see an accident and you're called in as a witness, what are you about? Does the judge want your opinion that stoplight's a bad stoplight and it shouldn't be there and it's a mess and it's too short, whatever? No, he doesn't care about that. He doesn't want your ideas. He doesn't want your opinions about anything. He just wants the facts. What did you see? What did you know? What do you know? Share that back with me. That's a witness. Well, what do you know about the power of the resurrection? What do you know? You know that it saved you from your sins. That's pretty big. You know that the power of the Holy Spirit is what works inside of you. It clues you in to things that you need. I had the funniest thing. I was laughing, but I'm laughing because of my lack of faith. I was shoveling snow and plowing snow and having a good time in the snow plow and pushing snow all over the place, blowing like crazy. It was fun. This one was actually kind of fun. And blowing it around, I'm almost all done. And I come around the corner over here, and snowplow dies. Now I know it's a 70-something pickup, and it ain't that hard, but I'm like, really? Nothing. And I know that somebody had been working on it because I'd given my keys, and he worked on other stuff, and I'm like, ah. And of course, my church keys were in my truck, which was over by the bus where we parked the thing, so I got in them. I didn't have any of that with me. So I got out and looked at the hood. Nothing looked strange, whatever, so I started walking all the way over, got my keys, hopped in my truck, drove. I figured, hey, I'll rather than walking across the parking lot 7 times, I'll just drive over there. And I drove over, was going to come in because for some reason his phone number wasn't in my phone. And I've had it many times. I'm like, why is my phone not saved that phone number? I don't know. So I'm thinking, I'll have to go in the church, I'll have to go into Alice's office and find the Rolodex and look up his phone number and give him a call and say, hey, I can't get the snowplow started, it's dead out here. And so I do that. I'm getting out of the truck, trying to find my keys, get to come in the building, and my phone starts ringing. And I look at the phone, and I go, that's Kevin's number. That's who I was trying to call. And I answer, and I go, man, were your ears burning, something going? I was just getting ready to call you. He goes, I have no clue why, but God just told me I need to give you a call and see if you're okay. And I said, no, the stupid snowplow stopped. I said, how? And I started laughing. I'm like, God, how did you know that I didn't need to waste time going inside or whatever and just have him call me because I couldn't find the phone number? And you think people are like, oh, well, that's something small. You don't think the Holy Spirit works in small things? He works in big things and small things. And it was funny because he says, okay, I'm on my way. And so I was like, I got some shoveling to do. I shoveled the walks that I can't get with the snowplow. And I thought, man, it's got to be something simple. So I went over and I wiggled the wires like I have anything to do with it, like this, and hop in. Guess what? Started up again, going along, and Kevin shows up, goes, dude, what? I said, I don't have your phone number, remember? You called me. I didn't know what it was. It was there. I didn't have it. But the Holy Spirit works in powerful ways. He's going to come on us with power, and even if it's small things, but big things, he's going to give us the words to say. We're going to be his witnesses. What do you know about the power of the Holy Spirit? I know that when God's people pray, things happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. I know when God's men get together and study the Word of God and pray, like in triads and life groups, and when people get together and do that in the church, and you sit down and you pray about it, things start happening. Some other things I know. God tests your faith. He's going to put those times out there when you're not sure what's going on, and you just have to trust him. We don't like those times, but he's going to do it. I have a feeling God's going to do it for our church. He's going to push your buttons and see if you really have faith in him to provide. I don't know what it is. I have an idea. God's got it. See, the thing is, what do you know about Jesus? What do you know about the power of the resurrection? What do you know about the power of the Holy Spirit? Then you are a witness. You go, well, I don't know much. Yeah, you do. Did it change your life? Are you still a sinner, lost in your sins? If the answer is no, why? Then you have a witness. You have a testimony. God has done something for you, taken away all your sins, given you life. And then this last part of this, still in the section where they believed in the risen Christ. All this is, there's a lot of stuff in this first section. Because they believed in the risen Christ, all these things are going along. They had the assurance that Jesus Christ is coming again. Hey folks, if you didn't know that, that's a big one. Jesus is coming again. When? I don't know. Just like those guys. Is this the time that Israel? No. It's above our pay grade. We're not the judge. But he knows. Here's the thing. It's cool. There's an assurance of him coming again. I love this section of the story. Verses 9 through 11. So he talks to these disciples. He tells them about what's going on. And as he's standing there, up into the clouds. And what are they doing? They're just standing with their mouths open. They don't even realize two angels appeared and are standing beside them. You know what I mean? What's going on? Here's these two guys dressed in white. These two angels show up, and the angels have to get their attention. They're still gaping, looking into the sky, and they say, "Hey, men of Galilee, hello, wake up! Why are you standing there looking in the sky?" I mean, the angels have got to be busting a gut laughing because they're looking up in the sky. Where? Why? Where'd Jesus go? Like, duh. He said he was going to go back to heaven. Where do you think he went? He goes, the same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven, just in case you didn't know where he went, will what? Will come back in the same way you've seen him go. Whoop, God's coming back. Whoop, come back down. And it's going to be powerful. Jesus didn't leave. I mean, that's pretty cool when it just disappears into the clouds. He says it's coming back again from the east. That's a pretty cool thing. And why do they believe that? Why do we believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? Why? Because they believed in the risen Christ, the power of the resurrection. It made an impact in all these areas of their life. And they believed that Jesus is coming again. It's pretty cool. Now, here's something else that you might not see in chapter 1. I'm not going to read through this. I'm going to kind of give you an abbreviation view of the last section of this because Luke puts it in there to kind of help you understand some of the business they were taking care of. So they're told they're supposed to go wait in Jerusalem. And you know how well we all do with waiting, right? We're all patient people. We love when we're told to wait. Just wait. We don't like to wait for anything. But they're waiting and they're praying. And they're in Jerusalem. It was a walk back, and they're upstairs. They're praying, and it gives a list right there of all the disciples that were there and some of the other people. It says they all joined together constantly praying in prayers along with the women and the Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. They believed in each other. Now, this is the one that we don't find very often, but they believed in each other as fellow believers of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. They believed in each other. Peter ends up, they're praying for a while, and Peter stands up and says, you know, we're a guy short. He hung himself out there. Judas. And he goes through and he tells some scriptures from the psalm where it says it's time to replace him. So they're going to bring in someone else as an apostle. And so it says it's necessary to choose a man who's been in with us the whole time since the Lord Jesus was living among us. So all the way, it says from the beginning of John's baptism. So we need to have one of the guys, because there's a bunch of people that follow Jesus. Some people think it was just 12, but there was a lot. And some of them had been there with him since the very beginning, since John's baptism. And when John was preaching about John the Baptist, he's dead now. But ever since then, for 3.5 years, all the way back then, we got to find someone who's been with us the whole way, who's witnessed this resurrection. It says, from the beginning of time Jesus taken up, one of us may become a witness to this resurrection. We need another witness. I think everybody there was going to be a witness, but they needed another apostle. And so they nominate two guys. One's named Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and a guy named Matthias. Now this is the interesting part to think about this. So there's two guys that are nominated to be an apostle. How would you feel if you're the guy that doesn't make it? I give up on this church. I'm leaving this church. I'm not going to be a part of this. Do you think that's what he did? Or do you think he said, oh yeah, you chose the wrong one. Watch how I'm going to witness. I don't know. It's all in your attitude, right? Some people have that attitude. Oh, I'm leaving this church. I'm leaving. But we don't have anything that Justice left. He probably was a part of the church. He didn't get mad, upset. God chose Matthias. Do we hear anything about Matthias after this? No. Do we hear anything about Justice after this? No. Do you think they both went out and witnessed what they saw and they heard and they believed? Yeah. They didn't get bent out of shape over it. It's interesting. Here's what I see from this. When they believed in each other, they were people who were praying. Folks, this is important. This is key. It's vital. We need to be praying. They were praying when Peter said, hey, we need to do this. And they need to be praying for the church and for what was going on. The thing is people don't believe in each other very much anymore. Have you noticed that? Whether it's in the church, whether it's out in the world, whatever, you just don't believe in people anymore. I mean, example, how many people give up on their favorite football team when they lose? There's a lot of them. Why? People don't believe in anybody. Hey, there's always next year, and the year after that, and the year after that, and 44 years, you can still believe in them. The thing is it doesn't mean I'm going to, you see what I'm saying? People don't believe in each other anymore. People have become cynical. Even Christians just don't believe anymore in the goodness of people. And they're shocked when the church or when somebody does something nice for somebody. Why? In general, everybody here is a good person. We have a good heart. We want to see God's kingdom come. People used to think the best of everyone. But now we've been hurt enough, we've had times that have been tough, we've had things that didn't quite go right, then man, we don't believe in everybody anymore. We don't have a faith that people are going to come through with what they're doing. It's funny because the example that came to my mind is funny because I've heard people who are like in charge of a business, or even I've had that even myself at other churches, I've been accused of trying to destroy the church. Now think about that just logically for a second. As a pastor, why would I want to destroy my very livelihood? It usually came when I was pushing people because the Holy Spirit has put it upon me to step out in faith. Well, people don't like to step out in faith. They just like to keep it status quo. Don't ask me to change anything. Don't ask me to step out on faith for anything because I don't want to do that. And they're like, well, you're going to ruin the church. Why would I want to ruin the church? It is my livelihood. It's all I do. I'll take a phone call at 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter. I'll go show up at your house. Whatever you need, I'll be glad to do it. Why would I want this church to fail? Can anybody answer me that one? Why would I want this church to fail? I don't. And I don't even want to be praised if it succeeds. I want Jesus to be praised because he's the one that's doing it. I just want to see your lives change. I want to see you make a difference. I want to see the power of God working in you. It is so cool to watch the power of God working in your life. It just brings me a big old giddy grin. And I just go back and go, cool, Lord. Give him a high five, right? You know, a fist bump. I can't really do a whole lot with God because, you know, he does that, I'm in trouble. But I get so excited when I see God working in you. It's amazing. Well, I think, well, how does God work in you? How does God work in you? Folks, 3 years ago when I came, we had the building debt. We had to do the stuff. We started taking up a loan and said, man, we should work on this. If this is important, we should do that. We should get rid of this debt on this building. I agree. People got mad at me. I'm like, I wasn't even here when you borrowed the money. Why are you mad at me? I'm just trying to make it cheaper on us. Let's refinance it. Let's do something. So we took up an offering. Really, in my heart, I told you guys at that time, in my heart, I was hoping we made $3,000. That first year, God gave 10 through you guys. I was like the guys looking in the sky. I was amazed. Next year, I'm like, okay, I think we can make the 10. God did more, 11 and a half, almost 12. This year, I'm thinking, okay, we'll do that again. Hello, my mind's blown. God's in the idea of doing that. He loves doing that. Over 20,000. Here's the thing, folks. It's a new year. We owe less than 100,000 on that building over there. Yeah. You don't think God works through you? It came out of your pockets. Don't tell me you don't got it, because you got it somewhere. God gave it to you, and you were willing to give it, and you were faithful with it, and God tested your faith, and he blessed you with it, and you were faithful with it, and we're under $100,000 on that. We paid over $27,000 last year between our payments and what the offerings were. That's amazing. And we don't trust each other? Really? Look what God's doing through us. And I think, well, that's just stupid. We're just paying off a debt that we shouldn't have had to begin with. I get that. But what's God going to do through us into this kingdom, into the city, in your lives, in your marriages? What is God going to do? How is he going to push your faith? How is he going to test you? Do you believe in each other? Do you trust each other? Some go, oh, I don't know. Why not? The first believers believed in each other. They believed the leader had what was best for them, and they were willing to follow God, and that he was in tune with God, and he was doing what he was supposed to. He was praying. Like they were praying together. They knew it. Made an impact. I trust you guys that you want what's best for this church. Now, I don't think everybody always acts that way, but I think you have and you want what's best for this church. At least I do, and I think you guys do too. So I want to make an impact. Jesus said that you will be my witnesses. He was talking to them, but it also applies to us. You're going to be witnesses of what you know. Well, what do you know? You know about the power of the resurrection? Has he taken away your sins? Do you know about God's grace? Then tell people. Well, they may not want to hear. So, when you have a new grandkid, does everybody want to hear about your grandkid? Does that stop you at all? No. You show pictures, you tell them everything. It doesn't stop you at all. Why are you more passionate about your grandchild? I get it. It's a grandchild. Why are you more passionate about that than what Jesus did for you? Here's the thing, folks. What kind of impact are you going to make this year? What kind of impact are you going to make this year? Are you going to influence people? Are you going to affect people? Is this church going to affect our community, our people, the ones that you come in contact with? Here's the thing. You have people that I will never meet, that you work with, that you see on a regular basis. I can't impact them. You can. It's on you. Are you going to make a difference? You're going to be reminded of this for at least till Labor Day about impact. It'll probably continue on. I want us to make an impact in people's lives. Here's the question. Has Jesus made an impact on you? Are you the same person before you met Jesus and now after you've met Jesus? Has it made an impact on you? If it has, then it should make an impact on somebody else as well. Here's an interesting quote. I'm going to finish with this. Dr. Oswald Smith said it this way. The light that shines the brightest and the farthest shines the brightest at home. Now listen to that again. The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. If you're going to be reaching into all ends of the earth, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all those people, where does the light have to shine the brightest? Right here at home. Right here at home. It's great that we have missions and we do those things, we make an impact, whatever, but that light should be shining bright in our home. This is our home. It's our church. It's great that you pray for our missionaries and things. What about praying for our church? It's great that we want to see those people in our world come to know Christ. What about our kids? What about our youth? I'll be honest with you, I love what Shane's doing with the youth group, making them actually have to go out and share their faith that way. I wish I could do that with you guys. We wouldn't have any show up. You know why? Because I'll tell you right now, it's out of your comfort zone. You don't like to share our faith? I'm not too sure about this. Out of my comfort zone. I'm not too sure. What are people going to say about this? Man, we should support that. He's doing what I would like to do with the adults. As kids, what's great about youth and youth ministry, I mean, it's a hard thing to do. Children and youth ministry is the toughest two ministries we have. The good thing is they're the two most growing ministries we have in our church. But they're tough. Because kids will get upset and bent out of shape, whatever. But you know what I found about young people? If you apologize, they forgive you like that. They don't hold a grudge. When I was a youth minister, I had a couple kids that were more than active, if you want to say that. They were a handful. Some of you might have been that young person. And so sometimes they're immediately blamed if something is wrong, something's gone. There's a hole in the wall. They're the ones immediately blamed. Why? Well, because past experiences usually dictates what happened now. And so I blamed a couple of them because they were the ones that were causing stuff. And then they pointed out the fact that they weren't even there. And they were mad at me. I mean, they were like, I'm done. I'm like this. And so I had to go and apologize. I apologized. They said, awesome. I forgive you. That's what we're supposed to do. We forgive you. Let's go grab a Coke. Cool. They were there the whole time ever since then. They didn't leave. They didn't get upset. I mean, they were upset. They were mad. Why were they falsely accused and blamed for something they didn't even do? Yeah, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Boy, let me tell you something. If I falsely accused one of you guys of doing something, bye-bye. You're gone. Even if I came and asked for forgiveness, we've had people here that aren't here now. I've asked for forgiveness for whatever. And Shane and I have both, whatever. We asked for forgiveness. They're gone. They want nothing to do. Why? Where does that show up with God's grace and mercy? The light's got to shine here at home. It's got to be bright here. We got to show God's grace, mercy, and encouragement and prayer and all those things happening here. And then it will spread. Shane said, when he was up here talking about stuff, he says, you know, he's been to camp, they've been to camp and whatever, and the youth group numbers haven't changed. Sorry, they have. Your group has grown. Children's ministry has grown. This church has even grown after going through things. What's amazing is it's not the people I expected to be growing. The ones of you that are bringing your friends, they weren't the ones I was expecting you to bring friends. You know what I mean? I'm just kind of shocked. But hey, you work with what God gives you, right? And hey, let's invite more people. Great, no problem. Whatever, we still have the same impact, same push, we were following Jesus, being changed by Christ, joining him on his mission. We're going to share, connect, and train people. Same thing's going on. I don't care who gets a hold of it and actually does it. That's just what I want to see, is people actually doing what they're doing and making an impact in the people that they're meeting on the street, in their work, at the grocery store, at the gas station, wherever. I'm still hoping. Hey, you know, you guys know that I've been go to Sonic every day, a couple times a day, enough that they're like, oh, hey, Todd. You know how last week I was so upset that they weren't open, but the owner knew my name. Hey, Todd, we're not open, man. I'm like, well, what are you doing here? I'm like, you can't just give me one drink? He's like, no, Todd, go ahead. You know, and I had to go somewhere else. But even the owner knows me. But you know what's been cool? In the last week, two people asked me, hey, where's your church at and what time is that service? They're not here. But they asked, right? Hey, they're getting somewhere. Something's getting through. And all I do is buy a drink and I'll be nice to them and ask them how their life is going. and what's going on. And if I know a little bit, I ask a little bit more. Folks, you can do this. You can make an impact. We're going to study the whole book of Acts. They do things so far out their comfort zone, you can't imagine. But he starts off and tells them, guys, you're my witnesses. With a group of about 120 people that was sitting around there, he says, you're my witnesses. Guess about how many people are here? About 120. And he's telling you, hey, you're my witnesses. Believe in the power of the resurrection. Believe in each other. And go get the job done. We're going to stand. We're going to sing an invitation song. And the invitation is always open. You don't have to come down just during the song. Anytime you want to talk about Jesus, we'd be glad to do that. But if you want to make this your church home, and you've been through the class, and you know what's going on like this, we'd love to do that. You want to be a member here? Go ahead and stand, guys. If you need to get right with God, then you need to get right with God. If you've never given your life to Jesus, then we need to do that. You need prayer? We'll pray for you. But we're going to sing and we're going to praise God as we close this time up.